ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. முகம் கரோதி வச்சலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத்கிருபா தமகம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதரணம் பரமானந்த மாதாவம் ஸ்ரீ சைதன்யமீஸ்வரம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. We continue with Bhakti Vaibhava course, first canto. We are reading prayers by Queen Kunti, and today we will read and discuss verses 22 through 25. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 verses, and these are very beautiful prayers. We started last week discussing how we find different elements in Queen Kunti's prayers, elements such as glorification, gratitude, humility and regret, and begging for blessings, selfless blessings. She's asking to have the association of the Lord. So we will start with text 22 written on the board, then we will have some discussions. I prepare an exercise. I'm going to ask you, please pay attention. I'll do it, will be a little interactive, this session, at least the first part and possibly the whole discussion. And I'm going to ask you something related to the purport that we will read now. And Srila Prabhupada makes a statement about women which can be somewhat in intention, we could say, with, or intention with the present values, we could say, in society, or we could say intention with, if we understand it with the present value system, we are shocked. We cannot, this is too much. Well, you can say that. What is your guru saying here? This will be question, and I like to have some discussion and exercise on that. So please pay attention to what Prabhupada is saying. And also, there is a statement about deity worship. And deity worship could be questioned by many religious traditions, such as the Jewish tradition and Muslim, many Christians also, not the Roman Catholic nor the Orthodox, but the Protestants will also challenge deity worship as idolatry. So we want to do an exercise on that. So please pay attention, and then I'll ask you what to do. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Maline, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Maline, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Maline, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Namaste Pankajangraye. Namapankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye Namapankaja Napaya Namapankaja Maline Namapankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye Vaishnavis Namak Pankaja Napaya Namak Pankaja Maline Namak Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So this is a very beautiful glorification of the Lord by Queen Kunti, comparing him to lotuses. Purport. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, the laborer class, and the Dvija Bandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc., of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above mentioned women, Shudras, and Dvija Bandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhodha Kashayi Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as the Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers. And there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees, always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus, Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, that is, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet, and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. The translation again. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression. So she's starting from the abdomen. Prabhupada is saying the purport. She doesn't want to embarrass the Lord. She starts looking at him, not from the traditional deity worshipper, who will start from the lotus feet, but from the waist up. Whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, the chest, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, the eyes of the Lord, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Then she goes down to the lotus feet. According to her particular relationship, Srimati Kunti Devi is looking to the Lord in different parts of his transcendental body. So I would like now to explore these two topics mentioned in the purport, which could be taken as controversial in modern times, and sometimes we Hare Krishna people may live in our own bubble, which is transcendental. I don't mean it's bad, it's good, it's very good. But we may be living in our own bubble and we don't realize what's happening outside our temple. And then when we go out, we meet people and it's very difficult to create a bridge. There is a big gap between what we are living and what people are experiencing. And sometimes we may feel somewhat torn between the two walls, depending on our particular situation in life, according to who we are, what we do, where we live, etc. So I would like to ask you to, this is a bit unorthodox for a morning typical lecture, you just listen, but it's fine, I think we will go deeper into the topic. I like you to work in pairs. If you can get together with one devotee next to you, two, those who are outside the temple, if you want to participate, you can do it from the next room, or you can come in as you like, whatever you prefer. Two who doesn't have a partner. Okay, then we will have to do one group of three. The group of three, then you will do A. Now decide who is A, who is B. Like A, raise your hand. No, but they have three there, so it's fine. With whom are you? Oh, you are with nobody. Okay, then it's two, A and B. And also, yes, Alexander was in Portugal. He's from Russia, but he was in Portugal. I met him there. So, A and B. Okay, let's do one thing. Yeah, okay, A and B. Decide who is A. Partner A, raise your hand. A. One of the two has to be A. You cannot be the two A. Make an agreement. Okay. And partner B, raise your hand. Okay, good. So now A is going to be the preacher. You are preaching. You are preaching, and then you are meeting a person who has read this purport, and that person is shocked. So B, you are the person who is shocked by reading that purport. And among the B, raise your hand, the B's, please. We have to divide here because we are dealing with two topics, B1 and B2. So raise your hand, please. So you are B1, B2, B1, B2. Remember your number, eh? B1, B2, B1, B2. B1. So B1, you are going to speak, you are going to argue about the women issue. And if you like, if you need to see the verse, I think it was clear enough, but basically Prabhupada is making statements here that women are less intelligent, like the workers, and like those dvijabandhus, born in higher classes, but they are not. They are less intelligent to understand God. So you're going to question that. You can question, you can use whatever arguments. You can use, if you like, what's happening now in India, all these crazy cases of men sexually abusing and even killing women. It's becoming a big issue in India at the moment. So you can use those arguments, because anyone can use it if you meet the person. So, and then the preacher, you're going to respond to the best of your ability. Okay? B1, so A will respond to B1, that. And B2, you're going to be argue against deity worship. Forget you are a pure devotee of the Lord. At this moment, you are role-playing for the purpose of preaching. And you are questioning like a Muslim will question. This is matter how God can have a form. And the Bible says that's not possible. Whatever arguments you can come with. And A, the devotee, will be explaining how it is. How do we see it? How it is understood in Vedic scriptures? And giving sensible arguments which will bring the other person to, if you can convince him better, but at least to say, oh, there is a point here. Okay? Is it clear, the exercise? Okay. Go. Are you A or B? You are A. You are the preacher. And you will, you will be one of the two. You got the exercise? So you're going to argue against taking worship, right? He will question what part of the stage of taking worship has been idolatry. And you are meant to explain to him how taking worship is not idolatry. So you are meant to convince him about that. That's what you're meant to do. You're preaching in the street in Sankirtan and you met this fellow from whatever religious tradition and he's going to argue against. Thank you very much. Okay, how did it go? Let's take one topic at a time. We will start with the women issue, the issue of women described here. What happened in your diet? What happened? You can, any comments, like any good arguments, any challenges, like you couldn't, a very heavy argument you didn't know how to deal with? Who put the other against the, like in the boxing, sometimes put again, how you call it, the ropes? That's what they say in Spain, put the other fellow against the ropes. What happened? Were you the preacher or the... You were the preacher. And you had a tough... how you say? I don't know in English the terms, I know in Spanish. The heavy weight, you say? Heavy weight? Is that what you say? Heavy weight? So what were the difficult arguments? What? This is what you were saying. This is what you were telling him. And Rida Chaitanya Prabhu, did he convince you? Not fully. So you were missing, you wanted some more substance, like, how do you prove that? You say, okay, women are less in, they have children and they are in the body concept of life. But how do you prove that? That's what you were arguing. That was... Okay. Did anybody else argue like that? Human rights? Any of the those who had that topic who were arguing against? Any good responses from any of the groups from the preachers who dealt with the topic that you will say, okay, I could contribute that? Naive. So that was the... Mm-hmm. Okay. That's an explanation, you can say. Okay. You were the preacher. No? She was the preacher, or you were the preacher? Did Mother convince you? You were still arguing, okay. Yeah, the good points. These are good points. Something that comes to mind in this regard is that we should be careful not to read classical scripture or commentaries, like in this case Prabhupada is commenting from a traditional point of view, meaning from a different... There are considerations of sociocultural context, and we should read it with the lens of the sociocultural context that is being explained, because otherwise we will misread. For example, if like nowadays there is so much exploitation of women in terms of there is a lot of exploitation. So if we read this from the idea of exploiting women, then it becomes very scary, because it's going to be misused. And actually, unfortunately, this, we have a history in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness of having misread such statements by the Acharya. But there is a history of it. It's not... There is a history, for example, in 1975-76, there was the big controversy between the renouncers, sannyasis and brahmacharis, and women and grihastas and married men. To the point that some of the leaders, sannyasi and brahmachari leaders, wanted to pass a resolution by the GBC body, the highest authority in the movement, that women and families will not be allowed to live in temples. I don't know to what extent farms were included or not. Do you remember the Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu? But it's in Lilamrita, it's a very... And Prabhupada had to intervene. Prabhupada had to say, no, this is not proper. We shouldn't interpret things in a material way. We should see the spiritual quality of the devotees. All the devotees should have opportunity to serve Krishna. Yeah, that's part of the history, yeah. Yeah, that was such ideas were expressed, and it was due to an immature understanding of Srila Prabhupada's statements, because Srila Prabhupada was very empowering with women. Like yesterday, we had one of our students, Haripriya Devidasi, was lecturing very nicely. And she was telling her experience during the Samadhi ceremony, Pushpa Samadhi ceremony, for Srimati Yamuna Devi, Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple, who touched the lives of so many devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was very empowering to her. It's also in Lilamrita. Prabhupada asked her to speak in Mumbai. This is in the 70s, so much more conservative than now. Now India is much more... Those of you who have visited India for several years, like for example in my case, I went the first time to India in the 80s, and we go now, and sometimes we get a bit scared how much India is changing and becoming modernized. And also degraded in terms of ethical and moral values. We are seeing that happening. So, but in those years, still in the 70s, Prabhupada was very empowering to women. And he asked, for example, Yamuna Devi to speak in front of thousands of people in Mumbai during a Pandal program. So that's there. And now we have, still now, there are issues. We are having discussions in the movement. Can women become Diksha Guru or not? Still, it's a whole debate, a whole big issue. Very big. I read recently a very nice paper written, I don't know in case any of you is interested into that. It's a very well-researched paper, very, very well-researched, by Madhavananda Prabhu and Bhaktarupa Prabhu, both serving in Bhubaneswar. Madhavananda Prabhu is very learned in scripture, and Bhaktarupa Prabhu, I guess they have been working together. It's attributed to both of them. And it gives an analysis of guruship in Vedic tradition, Dharma Shastras, Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's very nice. And they don't take a stand, but I mean the arguments are pointing out that there is precedent that women were giving mantras. It is in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Women are mentioned as having given mantras. And Dharma Shastras are quoted, and Vedas, the Vedic period, and so on. Upanishads also. Of course, then Drutakarma Prabhu wrote back. I didn't have the time to go so much in depth, but he wrote back, now there is a response. So it's like a whole debate is going on. So it's a hot issue. And I don't mean with that to create controversy. Yeah, it's like, but I mean to, we are meant to be thoughtful, to reflect on what the scriptures say, what the Acharya says, and how do we understand, how do we apply it in our present context. This is important for our personal application, for our own coherency within our communities, and also when we present Krishna consciousness to other people to make it relevant. What it is very clear from Prabhupada's biographies is that Srila Prabhupada was very personal and was empowering to his female disciples. Although he, of course, Prabhupada was strong also with the idea of women liberation, which he said has been promoted by men to exploit women in modernity. So this Prabhupada had these both stands. Good. Yeah, that's an argument that can be used. We discussed it when we discussed in the previous chapter, or one of the previous chapters, when Sri Shudra Dwijabandhu were mentioned, that point came up. Of course, even that point can be also, in regard to the initiation, Madhavananda Prabhu in the paper, he quotes Harita. Harita is one of the sages who wrote the 20 different Dharma Shastras, such as Manu Samhita, which sometimes is quoted. There are 20 different types of Dharma Shastras. And Harita says that actually it is not that women is always classified as Shudra. So that can be contested. I'm just mentioning that. This will be one argument that can be used, certainly. It's valid. But also that argument can be contested. Because if that will be the case, then how a Shudra will be able to give birth to a Brahmana? That's Harita's Dharma Shastra perspective. How it can be? If she's a Shudra, how it can give birth to a Brahmana? And more than this type of statements, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that that Vaishnavas are transcendental. Vaishnavas are higher than Brahmanas. So by someone becoming Vaishnava or Vaishnavi becomes a Brahmana, and even more, and therefore it doesn't apply to devotees. This will substantiate how actually it the argument of women Shudra, Dvijabandhu does not apply to a devotee, in that a devotee surrenders life to the Lord, and therefore all these disqualifications are transcended, which is the argument Prabhupada is giving about deity worship. We're going to move now to the topic of deity worship, otherwise we won't have time to cover. But anyway, this is food for thought, and it's not like final. The deity worship, what arguments did come up? That was you were the preacher, or the, so that was the preacher was giving you this argument, Mahendra Prabhu. And did he convince you? Okay. So if we follow a scripture, then it's fine. Shouldn't be something invented. Okay, that's one argument. What else? Arguments in favor or against. If you found an argument which was difficult to refute, please express it, then we can see what others did, what other preachers did. Okay, good. So we don't worship matter, we worship God, because he's present everywhere. Very good. Okay, so the Lord agrees, this is what the scripture explained, that the Lord agrees to enter or to personally accept service through his energies, in the form of metal wood, but he accepts directly the form of the deity. Okay, good. Did anyone use the mailbox metaphor or analogy? Anyone remembers that one? Yeah, when you sent a letter, right? We sent a letter, and it's very mystical what happens. You take a piece of paper, write something, put it in a metal box, and then in 3 days, it's in the other side of the wall, in Australia. whatever. I mean, I don't know if it takes 3 days. Depends how much you pay, I guess. But in very few days, that paper is in the other side of the world, in a particular place. And if I take the same, I take a metal box and put it at home, because I don't want to bother to go outside, because there is snow outside. And then I do the same, write the same message, put it in that metal box. Will that reach the destination? Certainly not. So it needs to be authorized. So the idea is that this is a metaphor to illustrate how the deity worship should be performed according to the instructions found in Scripture, should be authorized by God. Any other points? Well, we already answered that. I mean, some devotees already mentioned. We're not worshipping stones, we're worshipping God. And God is everywhere, so the offering is not to the stone. The offering is meant for God. And we can say in Scripture, in the Vedas, that is authorized. So we need to... Like, this is Holy Scripture. You can say, okay, it's a matter of faith. Who accepts what the Scripture? So we do accept that God is formless in that he has no material form. He's nirguna. But we also accept that he is all-powerful, omnipotent, and if he chooses, he can accept service offered with love by a devotee through many different means. And one of the means he has chosen is deity worship. It's an authorized method by God for the benefit of those people less intelligent, all the Kali Yuga people, men and women alike, who are not able to really see him. But he's so kind that he accepts service in the form of the deity. Very kindly, as he comes as Sri Sri Radha Gopinath personally and accepts whatever offerings we give him, we bring him, with love and devotion. That's the characteristic, that we do it with bhakti. If we don't do it with bhakti, then okay, he may mercifully accept or not. With bhakti, he is obliged to accept. He promises he will accept if we offer it with bhakti. And also, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva pajamiaham. He will reciprocate according to how we approach him. If we think he's a stone, he will remain as a stone for us. We will feel nothing. If we see him as God, then he will reciprocate according to our devotion, how we approach him. Okay, it's time to stop. I wanted to read very briefly, just 2-3 minutes. We'll read the 2-3 verses, the translations of the next verses. And tomorrow, I was going to ask Mahendra Prabhu to speak. He came, and we're very happy that he's back. Will you be willing to speak on verses... Sorry to put you on the spot like that. On verses, very nice verses. It's only 2 verses tomorrow. 26 and 27, which you can read. Jama Ishvarya Shruta Shribir. Very, very nice verse. And I'll read the translations of, very briefly comment on 24 and 23, 24, 25. Srimati Kunti Devi prays, O Rishikesh, Master of the senses and Lord of lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who has long imprisoned and distressed, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. I repeat it. O Rishikesh, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious king Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. I know you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna was more merciful in one way, or gave more protection to Kunti Devi than to Devaki Devi. Anyone remembers why? So Devaki had a husband, was protected, but Kunti Devi had no husband. And so more protection was needed there, and the Lord protects the devotees according to their needs. Krishna says, I bring them what they need, and I keep what they have. So he's very kind and will protect us according to our personal needs. And here seven different types of dangers were mentioned. These are explained in Mahabharata, and we won't go in detail because of time. Very nice narratives of how Krishna protects his pure devotees. And text 25, the famous verse where Srimati Kunti Devi prays for calamities, one of those verses, sometimes difficult to identify with, at least I tend to escape calamity. I'm a minimalist, I can live with little, but I don't like pain. If I go to the dentist, I don't like pushing too hard. So, but Srimati Kunti Devi, she is praying for calamities. She says, I wish that all those calamities will happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So it's a whole verse for a whole discussion. We don't have the time now. Maybe tomorrow also, if Mahendra Prabhu, you want to say something about that, you can. And do it, this verse and the next two, because this is a very deep verse. We end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premanande.